America is not perfect, but America is the best thing that ever happened to my life and my family.
Welcome to Nursing in America, where nurses share real stories of building new lives in the U.S. with practical tips to help you thrive. Today's episode, The First 30 Days After Arrival. From housing and transportation to finances and Social Security, we'll hear from nurses and experts who've lived it. Let's begin with Anna Cruz, a nurse from the Philippines who waited nearly 8 years to arrive in New York. She's now been working in the U.S. for 7 years and has plenty of wisdom to share.
Hi, everyone. My name is Anna Cruz. I'm a nurse from the Philippines. I waited almost 8 years to arrive in New York. It was not easy, but it's very manageable and you can all do it.
Next, we hear from Eliza, a nurse from Brazil with over 13 years of experience. She arrived in the U.S. less than 2 weeks ago and is navigating her first days in North Dakota.
Hello, everybody. My name is Elisa. I'm from Brazil. I am a nurse for over 13 years, and I have arrived in the U.S. It has like less than 2 weeks. And I used to work in the emergency room in Brazil. It's a kind of different than here in the U.S., but my largest experience is an emergency.
Joining us with financial expertise is Blair Blanchard, Community Development Officer at Advanced Federal Credit Union. Blair has helped many nurses prepare financially for their move to the U.S.
My name is Blair Blanchard, and I am the Community Development Officer for Advantage Federal Credit Union. We have a program designed specifically for people in your situation that you can apply for before you even get to the United States and have a place to put your money to have it waiting for you once you get here. And we also have, as a part of this program, a pre-approval guaranteed to you for an auto loan, in substantial cases, mortgages, even a credit card, and all of our products pertaining to you, your spouse, and your children.
And finally, James Krolder, Director of International AutoSource, shares insights on transportation and car ownership for newly arrived nurses.
Hello, everyone. I'm the Director of International AutoSource. Very similar to Advantage, International AutoSource offers car loans to nurses who are relocating to the United States. We help them with purchasing that vehicle, trying to find the best price, of course. You know, we always got to help you find the best price on a vehicle and the best type of interest rates on their loans, as well as your auto insurance. In addition to that, we help you with driver's lessons and registration of your vehicle, and really just trying to help you through the entire process of your personal transportation to ensure that once you arrive here in the U.S., you kind of have one less thing to worry about.
Anna and Eliza share how they prepared for their move, from research and budgeting to connecting with other nurses.
I made a lot of plans. I actually have a notebook. I list all my plans. I research and Google everything. The place I'm going to be working, the environment, the neighborhood, what community, what kind of school they have, the enrollment process, since I have an 11-year-old daughter now, but back then she was only 4-year-old. I Googled about the nearby hospital. Like, I really made a lot of notes before I left Philippines.
It's basically what Anna did. I also researched a lot, and there is a WhatsApp group in Brazil with a lot of nurses that are coming. And coincidentally, many of them, they arrived like 2-3 months before me, so I could share their experiences. So I researched a lot about the place I would like to live near to the hospital and comfortable, and could like suit my needs and my family's need also. I also got like save money to provide my family the first 2 months. It's so important because when we arrived here in the U.S., we need to have the Social Security number before doing anything. And there is a preparation and we take time to start to work. So we have to provide ourselves with the money because I don't know how it is for other countries, but my currency in Brazil is so low compared to dollar. I also made like a checklist with medication, a special medication that I need like a prescription here in the U.S. and was like easy to buy in Brazil. I got with me to not have any trouble.
Blair and Anna show how to manage money in the first few weeks, including opening new accounts and budgeting for family needs.
So one of the beauties of our program is that you can apply before you get here. You can actually open your savings account before you get here and wire money. That way it's here waiting for you before you arrive. And then as soon as you get here, we can go ahead and issue the credit cards and the checking account and the debit card and get all that sent to you. Obviously, we do recommend you coming with some cash because it does take about, we say 7 to 10 business days for that card to get to you at your location. Definitely do some research. That's a lot of comments that we've had is the drastic difference in currency compared to the US dollar. So do your research and figure out what your quote unquote dollar is compared to what the US currency is. Also factor in your bills if you're having to budget your rent, if it's not provided, anything like that before you get here. Transportation is a big one. You're not going to, you know, have a car the first day that you get here. So if you're going to be taking public transportation or if you're going to have to be utilizing Uber, all of those things. But my biggest advice would be to take any money that you're able to wire into a savings and get that done. Get that money here waiting on you before you get here. That way, when you arrive, you just have to visit or make a phone call to be able to access that money. So as far as, you know, specific amounts go, that it just speaks to where the region, because the cost of living where I am in South Louisiana is going to be drastically different as to where anybody else is in the United States. It just varies region, state, even, you know, if you're rural, city, or country living. So do your research. Talk to your employer. They're probably going to be your best source if they're living there. But definitely find a program where you can get some money wired and have it waiting for you in those circumstances. I will say you do not have to have a Social Security number to take advantage of many of the programs. For people in your position, you would just need, you know, your government ID and your passport and then your offer letter from your employer stating that you are an employee to get that account open. So there are resources. Just educate yourself on those resources because they are available to you.
When I arrived 7 years ago, I left my husband and my brother in my in-laws in California, and I first came in New York by myself. I have $20,000 pocket money. And the housing is provided, the bills are included. So basically, I never have any problem with my pocket money. So it really depends on the family, coming alone or you're single, how many kids do you have, and groceries. So it really depends.
Getting connected is essential. Anna and Eliza share their experiences with phones and SIM cards.
When I arrived 7 years ago, I have the oldest iPhone. And when it plugged in, and it didn't work. So they asked a lot of requirements from us because they need to know where you're at, where you're living, your payment, your monthly. It was a little stressful because back home, you just buy a SIM card and you're going to have a loan. But in here, we have a plan. It was a little confusing to me. But, you know, as I watch YouTube and Google, I learned how to use it.
I didn't get a new phone yet because I don't have the social security number. So it's essential to have an internet outside, especially when you want to drive and you don't know the place. You have to use the GPS. So I don't see my life without internet even for a minute. And something that I felt it was strange here in the US compared to my country. It's that not all the restaurants and bars and snack houses, they have free Wi-Fi. So I think it's a good deal to buy one prepaid SIM card until you have your social security number. You could like make a contract with the line and buy a phone together because they have this deal. You can buy the phone and then have a contract. It's quite cheaper than my country also. So I'm waiting now the social security number to make one line.
If this episode knowledge is important to you and you are a healthcare worker interested in starting your journey to success in the USA, go to amnhealthcare.com/international to learn more and apply. Social security numbers are key to unlocking many services. Eliza and Blair explain the process and challenges.
In 2 days, I have a meeting with the hospital to get the number. The problem is I'm waiting for the social security number to make the endorsement in North Dakota. But I'm enjoying the time I'm here. I'm looking for the places in the city. I'm enjoying the food, the markets. The supermarkets are amazing. There are everything we need, and I love to cook. So I'm enjoying this time. It's a time to have with my family because we are going to start to work like hard. So I'm like worried and concerned about getting the social security number, actually, to be honest.
It's your identification number is your access point into so many aspects of America, of your personal identity, of your banking system, of getting paid. We work very little with the social security numbers because we don't require them for our products and services. Once you get them, we do update them in the system. However, you don't need your social security number to take advantage of our products. We don't deal with them. We don't ask you for it until you get it and you provide it to us, but it doesn't prohibit you from taking advantage of any of our financial assistance.
Anna and James share advice on driving and transportation in the U.S.
One thing I regret not moving back home is to learn how to drive. I live in a city, so I just walk from my school, I just walk from my job. Thankfully, when I arrive, I learned to ride the bus time, train station, and I made a lot of Uber guy friends.
The best thing that you can do before you arrive, obviously, is if your country does offer some type of driving lessons. I have been in numerous foreign countries, and I assure you, if you can drive in your home countries, you could drive in the United States. I've seen the driving in the Philippines. You're okay to drive here in the United States. Okay, fine. It's just you just have to learn to drive and kind of learn the new rules of the road and the signs. I mean, they're all pretty universal, but it's the idea is, you know, I would want to feel a little bit more comfortable, you know, driving someone else's car, learning the rules of the road, learning, you know, the stop. And before I step into a brand new vehicle or even a brand new used vehicle, you know, and drive that car here in the United States, it's definitely something I suggest. Getting an international driver's license or international driver's permit is something I suggest. It makes life a tad easier when you first arrive here in order to convert over to a U.S. driver's license. The best thing or the most unfortunate thing about the United States is we have 50 states. It's like 50 different countries. The challenges that come up with registration and licensing, everybody's different. Everybody requires different, you know, things when it comes down to, you know, a U.S. license or identification points, social security number, whatever that particular case is. International Auto Source does have that information, and we do share that information with all the candidates. There is a document that we have provided that gives the breakdown of every single state, their requirements for a driver's license, registration, taxes, anything that you may need to know specifically. And that information is free and available to you, obtain a car from International Auto Source or not. It's something that really just to educate you and prepare you.
Blair and Eliza offer insights on building credit and avoiding common pitfalls.
Whenever you're a natural born American, we say, you know, start establishing credit early, finance a computer, finance this, you know, build credit because you need credit. But there's a huge difference between good credit and bad credit. And it takes one late payment to ruin your credit, but 7 years of good payments to bring it back up. So my biggest thing is any type of debt that you're, you know, taking on. So this auto loan for us, our limit's $25,000. If you get a vehicle for $25,000, tax title and license, and you're ready to go, make sure you make that payment every time. If you have to separate it, and this is one of my biggest things, if your auto loan payment is $500 a month, take, split it in half, however many times you get paid, and pay it then. Add maybe $5 to it. So do like $255, $260. And over time, that goes to your principal. So you're able to pay it off quicker. You can save on interest. Take advantage of programs that if you do automatic withdrawal, we take off an extra half a percent off of your interest rate. Essentially, a credit score is what the U.S. banking system gives you that shows your likeliness to pay something within a reasonable time. There's a dozen factors that go into your credit score, but the biggest one that has the biggest impact is the timeliness of your payments. So as long as you make sure that you're making these payments on time and making the accurate payments, even if it's the minimum payment, you should be in a really good place. Like I said, one little mistake takes 7 years to come off of your credit report, which then affects your credit score. Everything you purchased that you finance will, they will take a look at your credit score and your debt to income ratio. You know, we see it at times where somebody may have a terrible credit score, but they have a very healthy debt to income ratio. So they're able to, you know, get by. And then we see people who have awful debt to income ratios that have great credit scores. You want to be a happy medium. You want to keep a healthy debt to income ratio and you want to keep a healthy credit score because that'll give you healthy rates and APRs and it'll make your lifestyle much more affordable. But coming into little or no credit in your shoes, the biggest thing is you want to work hard to establish that credit. And the easiest way to do that is to make those payments on time.
It's something that we talk a lot in the WhatsApp group. And my husband also, he researched a lot about this. I left for him like this part of the job, you know. And yeah, we have a good idea about the credit score here. We came prepared to use our finances positively and create a good score.
Anna and Blair share budgeting tips and how to avoid overspending in the first month.
The biggest mistake will be converting your money. In my mind, oh, I have X amount of dollar. It's big back home, but I'm not back home anymore. And I realized hey, Anna, wake up. You're now in the US. You're paying dollar. You're earning dollar. So it's not a big money.
Conversion is a huge thing. It's very different. I didn't even understand the difference until I started, you know, doing this more in depth. Another thing, and I mentioned this in a conversation with one of our client groups, and some of the people were like, I don't understand that expression. And I think it was a cultural thing. And I was like, okay, let me think of how I can put it that you would understand. Keeping up with the Joneses, but we've now rebranded it to keeping up with the Kardashians. You're not coming to the U.S. as a Kardashian. Things cost, and the cost is, it's drastic, it's geographical, but the amount of money that things cost, people have no idea that physical drawdown of a dollar. So make sure you're living within your means. Make sure that you're prioritizing, you know, Wi-Fi, all of these things. Yes, obviously you need the basic living needs, but identify what is a need and what is a want, what is, you know, a priority, what is a necessity, what is a luxury. And make sure that your hard-earned money is going to paying the necessities and leaving the luxuries for bonuses or given time, because nobody's going to come here and be able to afford, you know, that lifestyle and all the bells and whistles of what a lot of people believe is the American dream. It takes time. So that was our biggest takeaway was, don't keep up with the Kardashians.
Anna closes with heartfelt advice for nurses preparing to move.
It's not easy, but it's all worth it. We'll get companies that will help you with your own research. You can make it work and do not give up and have a faith in yourself. America is not perfect, but America is the best thing that ever happened to my life and to my family.
That's Nursing in America. These nurses turn dreams into reality through courage and heart. You can too. Take that leap, embrace the journey, and build your future in America. Until next time, keep moving onwards and upwards.